It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Unless Congress acts by Friday, $85 billion in automatic budget cuts, known collectively as the sequester, will take effect. Those cuts could negatively impact Pennsylvania along with the rest of the nation. We're likely to see thousands of layoffs and massive air travel delays, among other things. And as those spending cuts loom, the White House and Congress have drawn battle lines. So the question is, who will give in? I'm joined now by 14th District U.S. Congressman Mike Doyle, Democrat of Pennsylvania. Congressman Doyle, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be here.
When this was first put in place a year and a half ago, it was supposed to be a hammer, not a policy. So how did this happen?
Well, I remember back when the sequester happened, many of us in the caucus, myself included, thought it was a terrible idea. This was, for the listeners to remember this, this is basically when the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party said that they were going to put us in default if we didn't agree to certain budget cuts. What the president proposed to the Republicans was this sequester that was thought to be so horrible in its impact that surely before the deadline where the sequester would actually be enacted, that we'd sit down and agree upon some sort of balanced approach. Many of us thought it was a mistake to give in to this threat early on, and half of the Democratic caucus, myself included, voted against this proposal a year and a half ago because we believed it would start a whole string of bad behavior on the part of the Tea Party, and unfortunately, that's what's come to pass. Every 3 months, we seem to face a crisis, the latest one now being March 1st, when the sequester goes into place.
People are frustrated because President Obama and Congress had a year to seek the elusive grand bargain, as some have called it. In late December, you all gave yourselves another 2 months, but apparently no negotiations have ensued. Why haven't they?
Well, that's very frustrating, and I think the American public, by the way, has a right to be frustrated, and they're pointing fingers at all of us, and I think rightfully so. We're at an impasse right now. Basically, John Boehner in the House, the majority of his caucus does not want to consider any type of balanced approach. They want a cuts-only budget. Well, that's just not going to fly in the Senate, and the president won't sign such a budget. So what we're trying to do is to see if there's some middle ground where we can commit to deficit reduction. I mean, cuts will have to be a part of this. But also, there's still a lot of money to be gained from closing tax loopholes and doing tax reform. So the question is, as you look over a 10-year period, and we budget in 10-year cycles, what we don't want to do is put all the cuts up front because we're in a fragile recovery. And most economists tell us if we do that, and that's what the sequester will do, it will put a reverse on unemployment. And we need job growth. And people to get back to work in order to grow our way out of this deficit. We can't do it by cuts alone. We can't do it by taxes alone. We have to do taxes and cuts and grow the economy. And what the revenue side of this picture will allow us to do is to phase in the cuts more on the back end so that we can continue to let this economy grow and create jobs and bring more revenue in when people are back to work. That's what we're trying to get done. Unfortunately, we don't have the votes to do that right now. In the House of Representatives, there's not the votes for this type of balanced approach, and that's why we're at this impasse.
So the question is, it will in the next 3 or 4 days here, will it be possible to find a middle-of-the-road solution, a mix of spending cuts and tax increases, as some Democrats have proposed, including yourself, that the Republicans will go along with? Because the GOP has been adamant that it should be cuts only.
Right. Well, I guess we'll find out. I think it's impractical to think that we can get the final solution by Friday. That, I think that's past us now. The question is there the will to do something that gives us an extra month or two? And this becomes very frustrating because this last time we kicked the can down the road 3 months. I voted against it just as a statement to say we've got to stop kicking this can down the road and facing a crisis every 3 months. We have to once and for all get this done. The sequester, I believe, will happen on Friday. Now, the effects of the sequester won't be immediate. It's not like the next day you're going to see you know, an immediate impact of it. But the impact is real, and it will happen over time if it's allowed to continue. My hope is that before the end of the month, you know, we're facing another deadline. The CR expires in March also. My hope is that sometime between this week and the end of the CR that we're able to put a package together, probably in the Senate first, something that could pass the Senate, I think will put pressure on the House to make Speaker Boehner at least put the bill on the floor and see if we can, you know, with enough Democrats and some Republicans voting for the package, get this done once and for all. But I fear if Speaker Boehner only will put a bill on the floor that the majority of his caucus supports, we're never going to get a compromise bill through the House.
Is everything on the table here as far as negotiations? Could there be, even though you're saying that you think that the sequester is going to happen on Friday, March 1st, this Friday, but could there still be a temporary fix?
Well, there could be. We could have another provision that says, you know, we will avert this sequester for 2 months by putting up some cuts that we can all agree upon that will be like 2 months worth of cuts to give us time to get a final package. But the problem is that's what we did just 3 months ago. And in that three-month period, nobody negotiated because the Republicans took the position that there was nothing to negotiate, that there wasn't going to be any revenue discussions, that the only discussion they were willing to have with the president was that they want to replace the cuts in the military part of the sequester with other cuts. So that's a discussion they said they're willing to have, but they didn't want to have a discussion over a balanced approach. So we have this impasse. Now, if we kick the can down the road another 2 months and no one talks to one another, we're right back where we started from. So I just think that, you know, the answer to this, I really think the Senate has to take the lead on this, because if a bill passed bipartisanly in the Senate that was balanced, that would put pressure on the Speaker to at the very least allow the bill to come to the floor and let the entire House work its will. I think there'd be a lot of pressure on members, especially if it was a balanced approach and each side gave something, that there'd be a lot of pressure to get that thing passed once and for all. And that's I think, our best hope for a solution.
You've said that if the sequester cuts happen on Friday, that we won't feel an immediate effect, at least not right away. But if these cuts happen, how bad are they going to be, and how will they impact Pennsylvania?
Well, they're going to be bad in the long term. It's going to affect education. It's going to affect our small businesses. It'll reduce the amount of loan guarantees that we give small businesses to create jobs. It's going to cut research and innovation. That's going to hurt us in western Pennsylvania. One of the first things that fall victim to the Budget Act when this happens is basic research. And you know, basic research doesn't bear fruit next month, but down the road, the monies we spend in research is returned back to us a hundredfold with these discoveries that get made. Institutions like Pitt and Carnegie Mellon, institutions throughout Pennsylvania that are doing cutting-edge research, those budgets will cease to exist. Cuts to mental health, cuts to safety, to our customs and border patrol, air traffic controllers, TSA agents. All these are departments that are going to have to cut back on their personnel, and you'll start to see the effects of that once these layoffs take place. Now, it won't happen the first week of the sequester, but it will start to happen as these agencies start to see how they're going to make their budget adjustments to get in line with the new number they have because of the cut. And these are real cuts that are going to have impacts on jobs, not only in Pennsylvania, but across the country. States that have military bases, you're going to see big cuts in civilian personnel in these bases. It's going to affect things like work-study programs and Head Start. You know, just a whole gamut of things that take place in the federal government that people take for granted, that protect our safety, make sure our air is clean, make sure our food is edible. All these things will be impacted eventually by the sequester when we lay off personnel. And federal government, by the way, for people that don't know this already, government sector employment has been going down every month for the past couple of years. Private sector employment has been going up, but government employment has been going down. All the cuts that are being made are causing cuts not only at the federal level, but you're seeing layoffs at state governments and in local governments, in school districts and in municipalities that have to lay off first responders and teachers because of these cuts too. So, you know, the government employment is really at a historic low right now. And if we continue to make this cut, it's going to affect essential services that the federal government provides.
Last question for you, Congressman. John McCain was speaking for many of the Republicans in Congress when he was critical of the president and said Obama needs to lead on this issue. What do you think the president needs to do?
Well, I think the president does need to call the leaders of both parties in the House and the Senate. Whether he takes them down to Camp David, whether it's over the White House, I really think that they need to get in a room and start to break this impasse. This is not good for the country that we operate a government by crisis every 3 months, and it has to stop. I've never seen the process get this broken, and something needs to be done about it. The American public needs to get engaged in this, too. You know, you hear this adage all the time from Republicans that government has a spending problem. What government has right now is a demographics problem. We have baby boomers going into Social Security and Medicare, the largest demographic group in the history of this country. We've made commitments to Americans about their health care and about their pensions and about the social safety net. And now the question is, are we going to honor these commitments? And if so, where do we get the revenue? How do we do this for this huge demographic blip that's coming into these programs so that we can honor these commitments? Or are we going to break these commitments by refusing to look at things like closing loopholes for the oil and gas industry, looking at agriculture subsidies for large corporate farmers that are being paid not to farm? I think there's got to be a balance. We know that in the entitlement sector, we're going to have to make some changes to accommodate this group if we're going to be able to keep our commitments. And there are going to be some tough changes that Democrats don't like. But I don't think those kind of changes are going to be possible if we're not also looking to the revenue side to close some of these egregious loopholes that are benefiting people at the very top of society. If we can do both together, then I think there's a chance to get something done.
Pennsylvania 14th District Congressman Mike Doyle joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. Congressman Doyle, as always, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
Coming up, how should Pittsburgh go about finding a new police chief? That's next when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.